There are a few words you can say every day that may make you healthier. Where's my fiber would be one set of words. Here, kitty, kitty could be another. Assuming you follow through on either of the phrases, your life could be healthier. We'll put the fiber aside and we'll concentrate on the pets. The profusion of therapy pets in recent years should tell you plenty about the perceived benefits to our well-being from having fuzzy friends in our lives. Our next guest writes about those benefits in a book. Carlene Montes de Oca is an acupuncturist and nutritionist and the author of a book called Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. She'll be appearing tonight at 7 at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. She's here in the studio now. Carlene, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So in your work, your wellness clinic with nutrition and acupuncture work, what kind of ailments do people bring to you?
I see a lot of people with stress. I see a lot of people who have chronic illness, predominantly heart disease, diabetes. But as an acupuncturist, it's interesting. The people that come, they've tried everything, then they come to see me. I always wish they come to see me first. But
You are a bit of a last resort, but yeah.
But yeah, and it's very interesting to see how the natural health remedies can really help individuals.
And it's also nice to see, apparently, that when you talk to people about their pets, you relate this in the book, that they change a bit when they talk about their animals.
That was a big aha for me when I started to see that people come in to see me, and they don't know me. So they may feel a little bit like reserved. They may not want to talk to me, even though they want to get better. But it was interesting when we had that commonality of animals, they would start talking about their dogs, their cats, and suddenly they'd start laughing, smiling, crying, all of the things that as an acupuncturist, I want that to happen so they can start letting go of some of the stuff they're holding on to that can potentially contribute to disease. So I thought to myself, wow, that's pretty amazing just in telling the stories, how they started healing.
You cite a lot of research in your book. I mean, do we know specifically what happens in us when we come in contact with our pets?
I think there are studies that are being done, and new studies seem to be coming up every day. I don't think we don't have a full understanding of what's going on. But certainly some of the things that we do see are that just in touching an animal, especially when you have a connection with, our blood pressure decreases, our stress decreases. And one other thing that I recently started reading about was the brain kind of stops. You know how we were all spinning around with, oh, I'm worried about this, I'm anxious about that, I'm depressed about that. For those moments that you're actually engaging with that animal, your brain kind of stops. It gets distracted. And that's enough to start the healing process.
I was going to ask you about specific things to do. I did notice the suggestion that if your gut is tight from tension, applying a purring cat might help.
You know, I do have a story of a healthcare practitioner who was from Hawaii. And she said, you know, I don't have any evidence about this, she said, but when I was growing up, the aunties would, whenever we would feel sick, they would put a cat on our stomach and they felt that it would take the pain away. And she says, I don't know if it's true, but we always felt better.
Carlene Montes de Oca is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of a book called Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with maybe your perceptions of pets and how they've affected your health, for good or ill, I guess. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The importance of a morning ritual you write about in the book, which is, you know, generally what the people should be doing, but can you incorporate pets into that ritual?
I always do. I think a morning ritual is one of the most important things anybody can do. It's like filling up your gas tank in the morning. You have to fill it up in order to get through the day with your car, right? It's the same thing for the human being. If you just get up right away and you're, oh, I'm on the internet, I'm on my phone calls, I'm reading the paper, terrible things are happening, you know, that just does not set you up for a successful day. So I always suggest meditation or any kind of ritual, but a lot of people don't want to do it. But I have at least for myself, I know that if I get down with my dogs first thing in the morning, I start playing with them, I start petting them, I start engaging with them. I have older dogs, so I may do little massage with them. I feel better. I'm smiling. I'm laughing. I'm happy. And I get out of my bedroom with a smile on my face versus like, oh, give me a cup of coffee.
Yeah, our dog likes to chase his toys first thing in the morning, so we have to throw them all over the kitchen. Let's pause here and talk about some boundaries. We had a guest recently, not talking specifically about pets, but just as part of his life, who talked about his menagerie and said pet hair is a condiment at his house. Do you recommend some limits to how intrusive pets get into your lives?
Do I recommend some limits in terms of
where they should be and how many you should have, things like that?
You're asking somebody who had six animals, and this is why I wrote a book.
I should point. Yeah, when you talk about your six pack in the book, you're talking about four dogs and two cats, is it?
Yeah, four dogs and two cats. This is what I feel. There certainly, to care for an animal, you know, it requires time, it requires energy, and it does require money. They need, you know, just like a child, they're going to need, they'll need veterinary care. They'll need good care. So I say that, you know, start with one and make sure that you give them what they need as well. It's not just about what we can get from animals, but what they can give us. So, for me, I was able to take care of six animals, but just
able yes. to take care of it.
Yes.
Grab your headphones. We have a call for you. Looks like the name is Juddy in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Hey, listen, I volunteer at the Josephine County Animal Shelter, and I just wanted to concur that, yes, animals are great for our health, and also a great way to get that into your life is to foster a litter of kittens. We have six litters waiting, and or a dog, because you get not only that wonderful feeling from the animals, but a great feeling about doing something good.
So when you foster cats or dogs, you are just the temporary home until a permanent
temporary home. It's a great way to have a litter of kittens that you do not have to keep. You do not have to find homes for them. We do that, but it's just a wonderful experience, and I'm sure it's great for your health.
And what's the usual span of time people foster?
Well, typically we try to bring the kittens to people when they're about 4 or 5 weeks old, so maybe 2 or 3 weeks. That's the normal range of time.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know about that. So a suggestion for anybody to check out with their local animal shelter about fostering possibilities.
One thing about that which I find very interesting is that being of service is really beneficial to your health. So now when you're being of service and you have the animal benefits as well, that's a double whammy right there.
So doing something
for others.
For the good of others.
For
yes.
the good of others really benefits. We see that it benefits immunity. It decreases our own anxiety, gives us a purpose in life. So I was in rescue for a very long time, and I felt very on course, on par with people, with what I was doing. But also it's interesting because a lot of the other volunteers were not – let's say we disagreed politically, but yet we had this in common.
Uh-huh.
And so it was an amazing experience for all of us. And also, you know, you're getting the healing benefits and the health benefits as well.
You got a bunch of shelter stories. You got my attention in your book with the story of the ugliest dog you've ever seen. What was that about?
Yes. Oh, gosh. I was driving through Los Angeles. I was when I was still working in the film industry. And I saw a dog that was in the middle of the road. And I stopped to get that dog. And I took and the thing was, it was 25 miles away from home. So I thought, okay, I will take this dog to the shelter. But I put some I gave them money to keep the dog just as long as they would find their guardian. But if they didn't, I would take the dog. So I showed up to the shelter every few days to see this dog. And one day they put a second dog there. And the first dog, the people came for that dog. But the second dog, basically, I went over. I didn't see the words that said, don't put your hand in this cage. And I put my hand in the cage. She just came over, laid down, slid and put her paw on top of my hand. And I was like, I can't leave this animal here. I can't do that. And I called my husband and he said, just bring him home. Just bring the dog home. And I did. And when he saw the dog, he said, that has got to be the ugliest dog I have ever seen. And she didn't look good. She was taken from a drug arrest in Watts, and she was confiscated as property. And she had, you know, health issues, really bad health issues. I mean, God, it was just terrible. And she had a lot of, she had aggression. So I actually did, this is how I met Cesar Millan. He helped me with that dog.
Oh, the dog whisperer.
The dog whisperer. And that was a pretty amazing story because she had a lot of issues. And I was fortunate enough to see him just with just about 15 other people who had aggressive dogs. And I remember getting to this place. It was a horse ranch. And when I got there, he came out and he said, who's got the most aggressive dog here? And I look around and everybody's pointing at me. And I'm like, okay. And so he says, can I borrow your dog? And I said, yes. So he took her and two other aggressive dogs and he starts walking and my dog's acting up. She's like, you know, yapping. And then she sees she's getting further away from me. So she's trying to get back to me. And everybody's like, oh my God, good luck with that dog. And he literally just turned a corner and they were all in one hand. They were all walking. And he comes up to me and he goes, okay, now you do it. And I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but okay. And I start walking and he says, wait, why are you so tense? And I said, well, because I know what she's capable of. I've seen it. And he says, you've got to let that go. Today is a new day. Dogs let go of everything. So you need to start right now letting go of your own stuff to help her heal. And that's the story of how I understood what my energy really transferred down the leash to her.
Humans and our pets and how we interrelate and the effects on our health are covered in Carlene Montes de Oca's book, Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse. She'll be at the Bloomsbury Books tonight at 7 in Ashland. You can join the conversation now on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Some of the benefits that we can get, both for dogs and for walking the dog, for example, benefit for both of us. I mean, mm-hmm. Is this important to do even if you've got a big backyard where the dog can run around?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Basically, a big backyard is just a big cage.
Huh.
You know, you have to, if you ever notice when you walk a dog, they're not there to just get to the other side like you are. Like, oh, how long is this going to take? I got to make a phone call. They're there for the experience of that walk. They're there to open up all their senses to everything that's going on. So if you're just keeping them in the backyard, that's just never going to be enough. And you may develop some behavioral issues. They'll be barking. They'll be digging holes. You know, they want to get out and explore. And it's good for both of you. It's so important.
There are some tips in here on sleeping with your animals. So what should you keep in mind if you're trying to get a good night's sleep and keep your six-pack happy at the same time?
Right. Well, since I had a six-pack in my house, it was the cats pretty much were on the bed and the four dogs had beds just around us. So we had a very full bedroom, but this is how we all got along well. I think it's different for every single person. Some people feel really great snuggling up. Other people wake up very quickly, so they may not be able to do that as well. So I think it's a matter of, like for me, there was a certain period in my life where I had anxiety. And so I would sleep with my cat because there was nothing that could get me to sleep better than that. So it's individual.
Kids and pets get a whole chapter in your book. Is there much research on the quality of life and the quality of health for kids who grow up with pets versus those who don't?
Yes. Well, one, we see that there is an immune benefit. You know, so
having pet hair as a condiment.
Exactly. The condiments are good. No, but we see that it benefits with asthma and allergies. And as kids are growing up, you know, we have an obesity factor in this country. And it's affecting kids. And so, you know, having a dog that you have to get up and walk and go out and play with is really great for getting kids active. And we know that early on in life, kids that have good habits are going to develop them when they're older.
On the other end of life, I mean, we're hearing more over the years about dogs that visit senior homes, things like that. I mean, let's mm-hmm. talk about dogs mm-hmm. and senior citizens, because a lot of them are often living in places where they can't necessarily have a dog.
Right.
Other pet.
Right. And we see that more and more. And it's not just dogs, but we see pot-bellied pigs showing up. We see goats. We see all sorts of wonderful animals. And I just had my uncle just died of Alzheimer's. And my cousins were relaying to me that he wasn't talking to anybody. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't. But they brought a therapy dog. And suddenly he lit up and he started talking and he started stroking the dog. And they said it was amazing. So I see these stories. I hear them a lot. And I also hear from people who go to visit more often the children of the people who are in the homes because they like the therapy animals. They like to visit. So it brings, I think, families a little closer together sometimes.
Let's take another phone call here. It looks like Tenny and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Carlene Montes de Oca.
Hi. I milk goats, amongst many other things in my life, and I'm a very busy and cerebral person. But once I get the goats fed and up on a stanchion and I sit down on my little bench and start milking, this complete stillness passes over me. Mm-hmm. That stays. And I've always wondered about that because it's nothing I do intentionally. It's not something I plan on, but it's an amazing break from the world. And I love milking. And I've heard that from other people who milk also.
It's okay. Thanks for the story. I appreciate that. Well, let's talk about it. You talked about trying to get people to meditate. This is one of your own practices as well.
Yes.
And I wonder if you can do this with your pets, for example, if that helps to do it with an animal nearby.
I love it. And what I notice is it's not that I come and tell them, here, sit here and be here while I meditate. I just start. I just go to a room and I start. And by the time I open my eyes, I notice that everybody used to be around me. It's interesting. Like the cats, one of the cats would usually find their way onto my lap and the dogs would be around me. But I understand what she is saying about being in that space. And I, again, it's that space of like being able to get out of your, you know, the craziness that's in our heads, you know, the stress that's in our heads for just a short time that that is sort of what she's describing as a meditative state.
Yeah, exactly what I was asking about meditation here. So you know, we do talk to a fair number of neuroscientists. It seems like pretty much everybody and his brother are throwing people into functional MRIs lately to see what our brains are doing during certain events that are in the brain. So do we have a good handle on your brain on cats, your brain on dogs, anything like that?
I think there has been more and more coming out recently. I think they're conducting a lot more, and I know that this last Sunday in the New York Times, there was a whole magazine dedicated to that, to the new studies that are coming out. So I think that there are studies out there, but I think there's more and more coming out, and I don't think we have a full understanding of the big picture.
Yeah, is there anything definitive along the lines of, like, if you have a cat that you like, you will have your blood pressure lowered by 5 points or something?
Actually, there in the Smithsonian, there was a magazine completely dedicated to this about within the last year. And this is exactly what they talked about, that they were actually doing a study with dogs, and they saw the decrease in blood pressure, the decrease in stress. And they found that a key was the closer your connection was with that animal, the more enhanced it would become.
Okay, so if you know the animal a little better,
this a little
is gonna
better,
have a more salutary effect.
Yeah, I think it has a great effect. Like, for example, we see dogs being brought into colleges during final exams, right? We see all this, and it really helps. But if you have that deep connection, I think any animal lover will know that the deeper your connection, the more the more you feel that.
How long have you had the six pack of pets, the four dogs and two cats?
Well, I had them. Actually, four of them are no longer here.
Oh.
Two of them are, but they're 16 and 14.
Okay.
Yeah, so quite a while. My oldest was my cat Cody, and he was about 20.
Wow. You had a long life with that cat.
Yeah.
Indeed. Carlene Montes de Oca is the author of the book called Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. She'll be speaking tonight at 7 at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. Thanks so much for dropping by the studio.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I really enjoyed it.